What's up? What's up? Hey, welcome. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. I'm grateful to be able to share with you guys today, and want to just encourage you that if you are able to, you know, Philly was like, we do need people to help clean up at the end of the Taste of Durango, the kids section today. But even if you're not able to help clean up, go down and support them. Say hi. This is an aspect of our vision in the church that we're really excited about, that we're bringing a kingdom of heaven community to where we live, work, and play so that others can know Christ. And this is an opportunity that we have where people are playing today, where people are working today to bring Christ. This is super, super fun. We've got bounce houses down there, inflatable slides. They've got all sorts of toys and crazy games to play and things to do down there for families. And we are about families in this church. And so for us to be able to be down there, the crazy and cool thing about it is that the people who are running Taste of Durango contacted us to come down there. This isn't something that we were like, hey, we got these bounce houses and stuff. We can use them for anything. You guys want us? No, they didn't know any of that. They just contacted us to say, we want you guys to be a part of this. And that's really pretty cool that we're able to get down there. So just go and say hi. Just go and support and go down there and hang out with our Sprouts team and the other volunteers that are down there. This is a really cool event. And it's been something that it's been on my heart that I've been praying about, saying, God, give us opportunities to be a light in this community. And essentially what we're doing in this, and you're going to hear me say this from time to time now, we're simply showing and telling. Showing Jesus and telling people about him. Show and tell. That's what we're about. So guys, just be praying for them. And if you see Ashley Tolles or Ashley Godfrey, give them a high five, a hug, maybe even soda or some caffeine, because man, they have been at it this week, getting crazy with all of the stuff, getting ready for this weekend today. So just be lifting them up in prayers. I want to give you a little bit of a background as to what we are talking about today, what's been going on over the past few weeks here at the River, what we've been speaking on. So between Nick and I, we've been sharing the book of James. And it's been kind of an on and off thing. We've had some business meetings and we've had some missions talks and we've had a bunch of different things going on, but we have come back to this message about James. And so I want to just share with you a little bit about, just kind of remind you what James is about, who the guy is. He's the brother of Jesus, all right? He was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And so about this time that he's writing it, there's a lot of persecution of Christ followers, and so they've scattered. And so James is writing this letter to the Christians to say, hey, we want you to keep growing. We want you to keep learning and digging into and understanding who Jesus is. And so he's sharing this letter and he's just spreading it out. And the first chapter of James talks about how spiritual maturity develops through response to suffering. And Nick has been speaking on chapter 2 of how the spiritual maturity is enhanced by response to the word. You know, we hit last week this active faith. And this morning I want to talk to us about how spiritual maturity is evidenced by the use of the tongue. Here we go, talking about the tongue. Speaking of this thing that as we hear about regularly, or not necessarily regularly, but whenever the tongue is talked about, you're like, I mean, it's kind of like when you start talking about the tongue or you're talking about tithes. It's like T words. They just like, but to be real, the tongue is got kind of a bad rap. And there's a reason for that. I mean, the tongue is, there's things that we all probably have said that we wish we could take back. There's a kid discipleship thing. I was debating whether or not to do it up here this morning with the students, but have a kid like empty out a tube of toothpaste and then then tell them to try to get them to put all of the toothpaste back in the tube. It can't happen unless you're one of those really smart alecky people that you stick all of the toothpaste in your mouth and then blow it back in. that's really nasty. But we've all said things we wish we could take back. And we know that we can't. In my house, there are things that are shared quite often. And my kids are they're older now. I've got teenagers in the house, and they're always joking with each other. They're being sarcastic with one another. There's a bunch of your mom jokes going around our house quite often. There's things that are said, and all of a sudden, because of the heightenedness of things, one hits the other, hits the other, hits the other with words, and pretty soon I'm saying to them, in a little bit of a loud voice, "Hey, speak life. Come on." And then a little bit later, Dad might start saying something sarcastic to one of the kids. I'm not without saying this stuff. And one of my kids, with a smirk on their face, goes, "Hey, Dad, speak life." Boom. Yeah, we gotta speak life. There's a lot of power that comes from our mouth, from our tongue. And the impact of the third chapter of James is one of the two things that we must decide today. Some awesome things. It's either the awesome power of the tongue or the power of an awesome tongue. Let me say that again. We got to decide, is it the awesome power of the tongue or the power of an awesome tongue? You see, awesome, where it's changed in a little bit, it has the power to either bring death or bring life. And so I want to just share with you what we're talking about here today. Because remember, James is speaking to the early Christians, and he's using his words to try and equip these people to walk out a more mature spiritual life. And he's writing this letter to them, which I think that we can then take it and say, okay, we know that you were writing it to them back then, but we can take on these words and have them encourage us, admonish us, and help us grow as believers today and help us to be more mature as we're walking out this Christian life. And so it is a letter. And so when I read a letter, and you could read any of these from Paul or Peter or John or James even, you got to know that these things, where they are inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, these letters, obviously there was something going on that made these guys respond to the actions of the day. So something was happening in the church of Jerusalem. Something was going on to where James had to say something about how people were talking, how people were speaking, what they were sharing. Was it life? Was it death? And he goes in verse 1 of chapter 3, and we're not going to hit too much on that, but he goes, man, I don't want all of you to be teachers, because it is harder for teachers than it is for just anybody. And so he might have been equipping or talking to those that were speaking in a leadership role, but he also goes on to share about this power of the tongue, and that's what I want to hit on today. And so he writes this letter, and he writes in chapter 3 about this little muscle in our mouths. So let's take a look at this. In verse 2, it says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. I want to stop just for a second on this and say that as a pastor and as the writer of this letter, James is not saying you make mistakes. He's admitting that, hey, I'm a part of this. I do this too. I blow it. And I so appreciate that with this, because he's just going, man, it's not just about what I'm telling you. I'm dealing with the same things in my own life. And so what I'm sharing with you, I'm also frustrated that it's in me that this is coming out. So hear this today, that this is not just a standing from the pulpit behind this podium thing, speaking and having a finger being pointed at you. Understand that as I'm sharing these things today to you, James is even sharing them, saying, hey, the finger's out here, but there are three fingers pointing back at me. So it's a we type of a situation. We all deal with this. We all have an issue with the tongue. Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. If we could control our tongues, we could be perfect. What do you think of that? Man, just, you can chew on that for a long time. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. In other words, big things come in small packages. Big things come in small packages. A lot can be controlled by our tongue. In fact, I kind of look at our tongue as our own superpower. We all have a superpower, and it is our tongue. And if you are a Marvel fan, if you're a Spider-Man fan, Peter Parker's Uncle Ben, no, he does not make rice, but he is Spider-Man's uncle. His dying words to his nephew are, "With great power comes great responsibility." And being that your tongue is your superpower, with great power comes great responsibility. Watch how you use it. Because those with the gift of speech have the power to persuade opinion, right? Those with the gift to speak things or to sing things, there is influence. Our news, the way that our media is portrayed through the TV or on talk radio or wherever, there is influence that is brought forth. There is opinions that are being made, but the tongue is being used to influence. Social media is the same thing. And our conversations on the bleachers or the sidelines of our kids' games also have influence. Watch what the tongue does. Speaking of this, I just want to say that because it is baseball season, there is such a power in the tongue. And I've got two examples of this in my own life, two coaches that I had growing up. One was a JV coach in high school, and one was a varsity coach in high school. Two very different approaches to how they used their words in my life and how they influenced me. And I want to just share with you this because this is something I think we can all understand practically of how the tongue can be used to either build up or to destroy. So the first one is my JV coach. So I come into the season, I'm just playing, I'm doing my thing, and the coach calls me over to the bench where we're warming up, and coach is sitting in the shade on the bench, and he goes, "Hey Palmer, come on over here." So I you know, walk over to the coach and I sit down on the bench, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to hear something today." He goes, "You're a good ball player." "Hey, thanks, coach. But there's a reason you're benched. There's a reason you haven't played yet. It's because you don't show me that you want to play. You got the skills. But if you want to be out there as a starter, you need to demonstrate to me that you want to be out here to play. So I want to see you hustle. I want to see you run out to the field. I want to see you run back into the field, back in from the field. I want to see from you that you want to be here because, man, I see that you have the skills to make it happen. You are a great ball player, but you don't demonstrate to me that you want to be here. So if you want to be here, show up, get ready to play, let's go." "Okay, coach." So from there, I ran out to my position. I ran back in when he called me in. I hustled everywhere I went. Man, I got into great shape. I ran all over the field. I ran in, I ran out. I listened to what my coach said. And he called me in and he goes, "Hey, Palmer," after that week, after the second week, he calls me in. He goes, "Hey, man, I've seen how hard you've worked. I love it. Keep it up because this week I'm putting you in. You show me that you want to play. Good job. I'm proud of you. Thanks for the hustle. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Let's go. Let's win. Let's kill this team today." Sweet. Game on. That's coach one. He built me up. I was excited to play. I was ready to play for this guy. I was ready to hustle, do what I needed to do. Second coach, we're finishing up with tryouts. And, he calls me into his office, and this is my varsity year. Because of the JV coach and how good he was, I wanted to continue to play the next year. And the year that I was on JV, the varsity took state. I was really excited about that. I wanted to play on this team. I wanted to see about winning. I was like, and I know I can contribute. And I'm excited for what's going to happen. So I come to tryouts. Man, I hustle. I do the work. I do the hard. I'm doing all the things that need to be done. And the coach brings me in with the other coaches there, and they're kind of joking. Inside jokes. And I'm standing there as they're all sitting, and they're looking at me, and the coach is like, hey, Palmer, you know, you're kind of like right on the fence line on playing this year. I'm like, okay. And he kind of looks at the other coaches. He goes, in fact, the only way you're making the team is if you sing the national anthem before every game. And they all laugh. And I kind of laugh. And I'm grateful for, at that moment, my self-confidence and my ability to sing and my desiring for wanting to play kind of helped propel me to stay on the team. Because when I started to reflect on what he was saying, it was, I don't want you. You're a joke. And as I continued to play on the team, this way that he was using his mouth to talk to me, I lost the desire to play. But I also saw that in him, he was telling me that I am a joke of a ball player. So I began to just pick up the baseball bat, bounce it on my face. I began to mouth off. I ran a lot. But I ran because I was being punished for not hustling, for not doing what the coach was asking. Because the coach's expectation of me, because of what he was saying to me, was that I wasn't good enough to start. So therefore, you're just a joke on the team. You're only good enough to sing, not to play. So that's it. I never sang the national anthem for the games. Yeah, it was. It was a bummer. But in all of that, I didn't keep playing baseball. I lost confidence in my ability to hit and to play this game that the year before I was excited to continue to play. Do you see how the power of the tongue can change somebody's abilities on whether or not they're good or not? The power of the tongue can influence and affect so much. So it's no wonder that James goes on to say in this, in verse 5, the second part, it goes, just think how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. Hello. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. This is not something that he is really saying. The tongue is, he's saying this is bad. The tongue is not good. And just, it's important to realize just how destructive James sees the tongue when he's talking about this fire, this hellish flame. Understand that he's using the biblical term Gehenna. And Gehenna was in the valley of Hinnom. And this was the place where Jerusalem would take its trash to burn. It was a nasty place. Gehenna was a place that just smelled like refuse, smelled like burning junk. It was also a place where poor would come to sift through things. So there's refuse, nasty, all right? There were pagan worship of idols, and there was child sacrifice in this area. There were thieves that dwelt in this area. This was hell. And the early Christian church knew where James was talking about when he's saying to them, man, this is where the tongue comes from. That place. That place. How a small thing can set a huge fire ablaze. Now, James, as I've said before, his influence in his writings and his teaching, it comes from Jesus. It also comes from the Psalms, and it also comes from Proverbs. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words." So death and life. So if you're speaking death, you're going to bear the consequences of death. If you speak life, you will bear the consequences of speaking life. You see, when I read what James is talking about, there had to have been some crazy, nasty things that were being spoken, that were being shared, that the believers were saying to one another, to where there was a lot of destruction and death that was happening. And so James is warning the people to say, "Hey, you guys, don't you see what the tongue can do? Heads up. Watch yourselves. Check yourselves." And James sees the power and wants us to not be ignorant of our own use. So he goes on in 7 and 8 to state how the tongue cannot be tamed. And so I'm asking myself, as I'm reading this, and I'm going through this scripture, I'm like, is there any hope on this side of heaven for our tongues? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. There is hope in this, and I want to dig into this for the rest of the message today. But in that, I wanted to share with you where Jesus talks about this and how he points us in the right direction. But he does this in a way that it's not one of the best moments for the disciples and for Jesus, and he's kind of getting after some Pharisees, because the Pharisees are nitpicking, trying to find some things with Jesus to go just point to where he's in the wrong. And the disciples aren't doing a spiritual cleansing of their hands, and so the Pharisees are getting after him. And so Jesus is challenging the Pharisees about what's more important, the cleansing of their hands or the condition of their hearts and all of this stuff. And Peter's going, "Man, you're really taking those guys off. You need to stop." And he keeps going. And then Peter goes and says, "I don't understand what this whole thing is about." And so Jesus says to him, he goes, Matthew 15, 17 through 18, he says, "Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you." So the tongue doesn't work independently. What Jesus was sharing in this moment is that the heart works with the tongue. The heart is what defiles you. Jesus says, if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you're saved. Believe in your heart, speak with your mouth. What's in the heart comes out. So we need to check our hearts. Now, I'm not saying we pull out our Apple Watches and check our beats per minute. You know, that's not what I'm talking about with our hearts. There's this inner core of an individual. And that part that is who you are, that deep core individual, that person, that's the heart. That's the heart that we're talking about. And so we need to check our hearts. So in this, again, in another part, Jesus says in Matthew 12, 34, he goes, "You brood of snakes," again talking to Pharisees, "how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." Where is your heart today? I think about this whole idea of garbage in, garbage out, right? Or good in, good out. We all get that idea, that principle, when whatever we're receiving in our minds, whatever we are gathering, whatever content we consume, that's going to come out eventually from our mouths. My kids, man, they consume a lot of content on YouTube. And it's interesting to me how much they share and how much they know that are like inside jokes, because I am so not a Gen Z person, and they're just talking all this stuff, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And they laugh, and they're like, "Yeah, you don't get it, Dad, you're old." And I'm like, "Stop." Speak life. But what are you taking in? What are you taking in? What is it that you're consuming? Is it a bunch of negative? I'm going to go back to the talk show conspiracy theories. The Facebook, social media. What are we consuming? The Word of God. Worship music. What are we consuming? Guys, I got to tell you that as I speak this, hear me, I'm not going you, just like James, we. What are we consuming? And I want to share this with you this morning, that we need to just hear these words, that there is hope, that when we reflect on things that are good, our hearts can change. So check this out. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, Paul writes this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Talk to God. Wait on the Lord. Speak to Him about the things that are on your heart. I'm interjecting some add-ons in there. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I want you to underline that in your script, that in your Bible. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you're following through the app, there's a section to write notes on after this section. Write that down, highlight it in your YouVersion Bible apps, whatever it is, put this down in there. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. Faith without works is dead. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. All of this stuff, this is content to consume. When you are focused on, when you are listening to, when you are looking at, when you are talking, all of these things, when it is purposeful going into you and they are good, worthy, lovely, honorable, pure, admirable, all of this stuff. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and you saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Underline that last bit. Then the God of peace will be with you. Because I want to go back to that other part that you underlined. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live. When you're thinking about these good things, then the God of peace will be with you. And that peace will guard your hearts. As it's a cyclical thing. When you're focused on the things that are good, that's going to put a peace in your heart. That peace is going to guard your heart. When your heart is guarded, when the inside of you is guarded, what do you think is going to come out? The things that are going to come out are going to be a fire of transformation. They're going to be a fire of good. They're going to be a fire of things that build up, not tear down. There's going to be a love and a truth that is going to come out of your heart and out of your mouth because of what's inside of here. And the influence that you're going to be able to speak into people's lives is going to be transformational. It is going to bring life. You're going to speak life and love. You're going to speak things that are lovely, admirable, true, honorable, pure, and right. You're going to be speaking these things into people's lives. And rather than tear down, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to build all of it up. Here at the church, we want to show and tell. We want to show people Jesus. And we want to tell people about Him. And in order for us to do that, we've got to understand that. And James shares this. He goes, man, you can speak blessings and curses out of the same hole. The tongue has the power to do both. So may it be that today you are speaking life and reflecting on the good things of the Lord. I want to invite the worship team back up here as I finish with this thought. So early on, I talked about, and James shares about, the tongue is like a rudder of a boat. Now you're steering that boat, that big boat that's going in whatever direction you're taking life. And your tongue is going to direct that. And so you're steering what it is that you're going to be sharing. Now that's going to be the case no matter what. But who's telling you where to go? Who's telling you where to steer? If you're the captain of your boat, man, you're cruising all over the place. You're saying whatever you want to say. And that boat is a tiny thing. Because if you're the captain and you're steering your own boat, it's probably not going to be that big. But when you start getting into the larger boats have a captain. And the larger boats have a crew. And somebody on that crew is called the helmsman. The helmsman steers the boat, but the captain tells the helmsman where to go. So who's your captain? You or Jesus? Who's steering your tongue? Jesus came to bring life to the fullest. John 10:10. He wants to set the captives free. Are we captive to our tongues? Or are we going to focus on what's good and right? We have an active responsibility to allow Christ to be the captain of our ship. This morning, as you're reflecting on this, I will encourage you that we need Jesus above all else. We need him. We need him. And in order for us to have him in our lives, we've got to ask for him. The beautiful thing about Jesus is when he died on the cross, talks about that the veil was ripped in two in the temple, signifying this, that we have access to the Holy of Holies. And he talks about that our body is a temple. And that means that the Holy Spirit is inside us. So now we have an ability to speak, not just from our own words, but from the words of God, and to bring an amazing life from that. So this morning, I want to just share with you that if you don't have Jesus, if you haven't acknowledged him as... invite the prayer team to come down here. Let's get a little music going. It's kind of quiet, and I want to just have a little bit of a vibe going on as we're closing up here. So here's what I want to see. Look, we have these people down here to pray for you and to pray with you. If you're wanting to know Christ today, please come down. These guys want to help walk you in the process, get you started on the right foot, to allow you to come to a place to where you're going, okay, I want to start filling my life with the things that are worthy and good. And this is a great day to do that. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come down and get prayed for. If there's other things that you need prayer for today, if you're like, man, I'm in a place in my life where, yeah, I let my mouth run, and not in a good way. And I've started some fires that are still burning like Gehenna. And I need the Lord to help me, and I may need to ask for forgiveness. Well, if you want to just take a moment and ask for forgiveness right now, you can do that from your seat. If you think that it's something a little bit larger and you're wanting more prayer, and a walking through and a reestablishment of relationship, come down and get prayed for. These guys, these girls want to help you in that process and pray with you, give you an encouraging word. Also, man, if you need anything, whatever, get prayer this morning. It's good. It's good to come together. Where two or more are gathered, He is in our midst. Amen? So get prayer today. Seek the Lord. Come to Him. And let's be free, and let's begin to speak.